Hey there, if you are ready to build your service-based business from scratch and ditch your 9-to-5, then I want you to head on over to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap and download my free Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit. Again, you can head to shedidithowaypodcast.com/leap to download my Ultimate Leap Checklist and Starter Kit to get started on building your service-based business and ditching your 9-to-5. Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, where it's all about making the ultimate leap from your 9-to-5 and building a business and life you love, all while doing it your way. I'm your host, Amanda Bolin. Let's get started.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the She Did It Her Way podcast. I just buckle up and get ready. If you find yourself in a state of overwhelm and you can't see what next step you need to take, or you've just found yourself in this funk of not taking action, I will tell you, get ready, because this episode with Christy Wright will fire you up. I remember when I got off of the interview, I was like, oh my God, I have so much energy. I just need to take action and I'm going to get my stuff done and I'm going to cross it off the list. And so not only do we talk about how to stop overthinking and take action, we also talk about imposter syndrome. We hear about the setbacks that she experienced, which led to a massive silver lining for her. And then we also talk about how she uses research to not only create events, but also to uncover who her ideal customer avatar is today. So get ready. You guys are in for a treat.
Hello, hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to another episode of She Did It Her Way podcast. On today's show, I have the lovely pleasure of hanging out with Christy Wright, who is a Ramsey personality, a national bestseller, selling author of the book Business Boutique and the host of the Business Boutique podcast, and coaches women on how to make money doing what they love through the Business Boutique Academy. Christy, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to dive in. Why don't I give you an introduction, but how about you introduce yourself in your own words, and then let's start and rewind the tape about what you're doing before you joined Dave Ramsey, and the Ramsey Solution personality. Was it always the intention for you to come and deliver this business boutique and
no, girl.
How you're in where you are today?
I love it. Well, I would say a really quick summary would be, I'm just all about championing women. So whatever that looks like, if that looks like in a business, awesome. If it looks like a mom that wants more free time or income and she starts a side business or freelance, or, you know, maybe just someone that wants to tap into their creative side, or someone that's like, you know what, I want more fulfillment. I don't like my job. Like, I really just love helping women become set free in their gifts, set free in who God created them to be. And there's a lot of stuff competing for our attention and our resources and our time and, goodness, our responsibilities of all the things. It's just so easy to lose yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I love helping women get back to who they were created to be and really become, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, kind of the best version of themselves, where they're fully alive and they bring that to all the things they do. So that's kind of the summary. Business Boutique has been this amazing journey the last 5 years. There's this whole market of women that are starting businesses, small businesses, side businesses, freelance, home-based, hobby, doesn't matter, where it's easier than ever before to get into business. Like, you could start a business tomorrow with nothing more than your idea and a Facebook page. Yep. So you don't have a lot of risk. You don't have a lot of cost. You don't have to have a brick and mortar store. You don't have to have overhead. So you have millions of people entering the marketplace saying, hey, I want to do this. I want to make money from home. I want to make money on the side, make money on Facebook, have a side gig, side hustle, whatever, which is awesome because so many people are getting into this space. The only problem is, quickly after getting into this space, they start to realize that they've got questions, maybe even more questions than they have excitement. And they're going, what about taxes? What about trademarks? What about the competition? How do I sell without being pushy? How do I set myself apart? What if someone's already doing it? I'm not business minded. Who are you to do this? And that fear creeps in and it gets loud. And I think that this is really a fork in the road for a lot of people, where they either have the opportunity to get help, to get over that wall and chase those dreams and make them a reality, or they give up and they say, see, I should have never started a business. I knew it was silly. I should have never done it. You know, that kind of thing. And so that's really where I come in. I love coming in and helping people at any stage of business not only have the tools and steps and plans that they need to grow their business to whatever level they want to, but also to have the confidence to go for it. And I love helping people build that confidence and push past that fear to do the hard thing. And so that's really kind of what Business Boutique is all about. So we've got everything from dreamers, which are people that want to do something, but they're not sure what. They don't even have a business or an idea yet. All the way through builders, which are women that are running multi-million dollar businesses. And so we're all kind of locking arms on this journey together saying, I'm going to make money doing what I love. I'm going to use my gifts and I'm going to chase my version of success. I'm not going to let someone else tell me what success looks like. I'm going to define it and then I'm going to go get it. And so it's just been really fun. But to answer your other question of how did I always plan to do that? No, not even close, not even a little bit. It's just a funny story how I think in seasons of our lives, we think, this season doesn't have purpose or this season feels silly or, you know, you're just kind of in the trenches, the day to day. But in hindsight, you realize, oh my gosh, like I feel like for me, God was weaving together other seasons of my life for a time as this. So my mom was a single mom and she started a little bakery when I was 6 months old to raise and support me by herself. And I grew up in her business, literally. And so I had this front row seat to not only business, but to this incredible woman using her gifts and making a difference in the community and, you know, overcoming challenges and taking care of people and customers. So that was a really important part of my foundation. I feel like as a child, as a woman, as a person. And then you combine that with, okay, I went to college, got a degree in business because it interested me. And then in my 20s, I couldn't make enough money from my nonprofit entry-level job to pay for my bills. So I started a little side gig to pay my bills. And then I became a certified business coach because, well, I was kind of coaching people anyway, just because it interested me. And you start to see, oh, I'm seeing a theme here. I'm seeing business, like from my mom to my degree, to my certifications, to my own side businesses. Like this seems to be a pattern in my life. And so as a part of Dave Ramsey's team, as I stepped into this role full-time of being a Ramsey personality, a thought leader, message bearer, author, speaker, that kind of thing, we started to really get more focus about my niche and who I wanted to help and what the market was. And that's when we decided that we wanted to use kind of my story and specifically help women in that space.
Yeah. Well, thank you for unpacking that. I really appreciate it. And there's some things that I want to go back and hit home. I love like how you are on a mission and working towards and am you're setting women free and allowing them to use their gifts, because this world, if we're not careful, we do lose ourselves and we start placing constructs and shoulds on things. Like if we want to take a sun or if we want to take a day off and we're not feeling it, like it's okay to do that from time to time. It's okay. We shouldn't have to feel that we should do it. Or if someone, like you had given the example, if they want to replace their income and work half the time and that's what they want to do, awesome. If you're someone who wants a seven-figure business, awesome. Like how can you help and meet people where they are? I would love, like through this process of the past 5 years and building Business Boutique Academy, and you have things from online and all these resources that you have for women, what's been one of the biggest learning moments and lessons for you in this role of leading women and kind of stepping into like a business owner in this capacity of growing this entire niche under the Ramsey Solutions?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's interesting because I think that as with a lot of things in life and business, that you have this paradox between you need to plan, but you also need to get going. You don't want to plan forever and you don't want to get started without planning at all. You need to do research, but you don't want to stay stuck in research and depend only on research, because then your market is going to tell you and that's going to be real life research. So yeah. I think for me that one of the coolest things was when I became officially a Ramsey personality, all of our company projects were really set for that year. And so this was before Business Boutique, before anything. And so we already had all of our initiatives and resources allocated. And so I didn't have a lot to do. It was kind of like, we knew I was moving in this direction, but we didn't have the bandwidth to actually create projects and initiatives around that yet. And so, you know me, I'm like such a go-getter. I'm like, I'm never gonna sit still. Like nothing can keep me still for 5 seconds. I get bored very easily. So I poured myself into research. And it started as simple as putting out Facebook posts on my small little Facebook page and forum posts and asking friends, if you have a side business or small business or want one, I want to talk to you. And I just set up phone interviews and I created a list of about 20 questions that I asked every single interview. The interviews took about, I would say about an hour each. And I just stayed on the phone and poured over these conversations. And what was so amazing, Amanda, is the themes were glaring. It was like neon lights of what their pain points were and what their frustrations were and why they did it and their heart behind it and why they got excited about it and what they needed help with. And the way they described their problems was the exact same. And so it became this unbelievable journey for me to where I felt like I knew this woman, this persona, like the back of my hand. And I identified a very specific process that she went through from, hey, I'm going to make some hair bows, or I'm going to, you know, teach swim lessons, to this becoming a business and what that journey looked like of kind of accidentally becoming an entrepreneur and all the challenges she faced along the way. And so I outlined this process. I went into my one of our whiteboard rooms and outlined this whole process, like this beautiful mind. It was like arrows and colors everywhere. And save those notes, pages and pages of notes, highlighting and circling and arrows of like, this is who she is and this is how she thinks and this is what makes her tick. And so then when we went to create the next year, when we went to create this massive event, a 3-day event, multiple speakers, we wanted to sell it out at 1,200 women for our very first thing we've ever done. Like, we don't do anything small around here. It's go big or go home.
Yeah.
I was basing the content and writing 3 days worth of content of stage teaching based on that research. Nothing was existing. So that was, of course, terrifying. You're going, I hope this works. I hope this is right. I hope they don't boo me off the stage. I hope they show up. I hope, you know, I hope this connects. I hope it makes a difference. And the first event was an overwhelming success, not just because we got the women in seats, but they walked out of that room different. But I believe it was because of the research that I did, that I poured myself into understanding them and asking the right questions to gain the insights to go create for them what they needed. And so when I would be in book signings or be, you know, in just the lobby talking to women, every single woman would say, I felt like you were talking directly to me. I felt like you're reading my mail. I feel like you're in my head. And it was because I spent the time to get to know them. And I think as business owners, we think we know what the market needs, and we may have a really good idea, but take the time to actually ask them and get to know them. And it can be super informal. It doesn't have to be surveys. It doesn't have to be a research team. Like, just ask your customers, pay attention to their feedback on social media, pay attention to the way that they describe you and your business, and then begin to talk to them the way that they talk about you, use the words that they use. And so since then, as kind of the phase two of what I was describing, we spent time in research, but then of course we continue to iterate. And so we make adjustments and improvements based on what they tell us and what they need. And here's what we love and here's what we more of or less of. And a lot of our marketing now is a complete reflection of how they describe the event. It's a life-changing event. You know, it was the best gift my husband gave me was tickets to this event. That's our marketing. We didn't come up with that. That's what they told us. And so it's both. You need to do your homework to know that you can put out a quality first crappy version, you know, that's going to be good enough to get something out there. But then you're always going to listen to the market to improve and iterate. You know, I always use the iPhone example. We're on the iPhone 10 now. The iPhone 1 was very vastly different from what we're at now. And so that's what business is. We're having a conversation with the marketplace. We're always iterating and changing because our job as a business owner is to respond to the market's needs, and the market's needs and wants are always changing. So we're always changing. So we're never going to get to the perfect version of anything. We're just going to keep responding to the market and doing the best we can.
Yeah, I love it. One of the things that stood out as you're doing it, I want to talk about the mindset, because when you were sharing about when you're getting ready to launch this first event and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen. Was it going to fail? Like, what's going to happen? Like, are we going to sell out and all that stuff? You still made the decision. You still kept going. Where does that, I don't want to ask where that stems from necessarily, because I would imagine it was just, even when you shared your background and growing up, have you always conditioned yourself in that way to not overthink it and just do it? And then how do you coach women who get caught up in the thought loop and the mindset of overthinking it to where they basically think themselves out of taking action?
Yeah, I do think that I have a fearlessness about me. Like, I don't want to downplay that to be like, oh, I'm special. I'm not special, but I think some people are more risk averse than others. Research shows that, in fact, that little girls tend to be more fearful than little boys. Like, this is research shows, it's in our wiring. For example, I love this example. Little boys break sooner when riding their bikes than little girls. Little girls are more cautious. They break their, you know, and then when they wreck or have a crash, little girls internalize that as I am a mistake, I'm a failure. And they never want to make the same mistake twice, whereas little boys tend to attribute it to, wait for it, wow, outside factors. Couldn't have been.
What a concept. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm like, all the boy moms said, amen. Like, they are slower to learn from calamities, and I can attest to that. So you think of the implications as grown men and women in the marketplace. Business is risk. It's all risk. Mm. You don't know. It's this big, grand experiment. But that doesn't mean that women can't enter business, and it doesn't mean they can't succeed and dominate business. They can. You just need to be aware of the barrier that you're going to need to confront and overcome. And so I think one of the biggest things that was pivotal for me was identifying the lies in my head, the lies of the voice of fear, because that voice of fear will really wear you out in the boxing match in your mind. And if you think it's real, if you think it's right, if you think it has a place, if you let it have a place, if you let it take up space in your mind, then you will become a victim to it. You will cancel the event. You'll stay home and say, see, I shouldn't have done it anyway. But what was really pivotal for me was identifying this voice of fear and understanding that it was in fact a lie. It wasn't true. And it's actually insanely normal. One way to describe it is to describe it the way that researchers describe it as the imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. It's living with this nagging feeling of being found out. Here's the signature line of the imposter syndrome. Who are you to do this? Who are you to start this business? Who are you to host a podcast? Who do you think you are? That's the voice of the imposter syndrome. It is a real thing. In fact, researchers believe up to 70% of people suffer from it, women more often than men. And even really successful people suffer from it. Kate Winslet, award-winning actress Kate Winslet, has said, I would go off to a shoot and I would think, I can't do this. I'm a fraud. And she, Maya Angelou has said, I have written 11 books and each time I think, uh-oh, they're going to find me out. I have run a game on everyone. And so if we have this idea that really successful people, people that are quote unquote qualified to be there, don't feel those fears, then oh my gosh, there must be something wrong with me. If I was supposed to be there, I wouldn't feel this fear. If I was supposed to do this thing, I wouldn't have these hesitations and doubts. That's simply untrue. Fear is a normal part of the journey. Mm-hmm. It will torment you every stage of the journey. The moment you conquer your fear of one thing, the moment you push yourself outside your comfort zone and do something new, you're scared again. Why? Because you've never done it. Of course you're freaking scared. You've never done this thing. It's new. It's unknown. It's a risk. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It means you just do it scared. Even if you're shaking in your stilettos or your sneakers or your slippers, whatever your preference, you just do it. You walk on the stage, you post the blog, you launch the business, you launch the product, you do the Facebook Live, host the podcast, whatever the thing is, you do it while you're scared. Mm. And it's in the doing that fear is silenced, because I guarantee you nothing will silence the fear of doing the thing like doing the thing. And yeah. I love the quote by Vincent van Gogh, where he says, if you have a voice inside your head that says you cannot paint, then by all means paint. And that voice will be silenced. And so for me, that was pivotal to understand that it is not real and I don't have to be a victim to it. Now when I'm scared, I'm like, oh yeah, I know here that. I know that voice, and here we go. Anyway, settle down, because here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I have nothing to comment on that. That was beautiful and perfect. Thank you. What I'm curious, I mean, so when you started this out 5 years ago, talk to us about, you know, how the problem's different today than they were 5 years ago.
Well, I think every year that goes by, everything is moving very fast. Mm. And so there's this pressure as the business owner to keep up. Like, I've got to change so fast. I've got to have the fastest technology, the best technology. I have to know what are Facebook's algorithms today and who is owning what today, and what, you know, what are the laws and regulations and who's disrupting what industry today. And if you put the pressure on yourself to know everything about everyone and what's going on in the industry and what's going on, you know, then that feels really overwhelming and it takes your eyes off of what you're there to do. So I'm not saying don't improve, but I am saying there are a lot of distractions out there. And it would be easy to spend all of your time looking around you at what other people are doing better or faster or smarter or cuter or cheaper or more impressive than you. And you take your eyes off of what God has for you to do. And so I think the more that social media is on the rise, the more that technology is faster and disrupting industries right and left, from Airbnb to Uber to, you know, a million different things. it's good to know some of those things, but it also can be a distraction from what you're here to do. So I think that pressure is just building, and it's that much more difficult to be confident and content where you are with your business, doing what you're doing. So I think that's a really integral piece to running your business from a healthy place, is finding that contentment in who you are, and confidence in who you are and what you bring to your space.
Yeah. And protecting it too, and knowing if certain things trigger you and cause you to go down a thought pattern, and wanting to always go back and make sure that you're in a healthy mental space. What has been a setback that you've experienced that has ultimately led to a silver lining?
I always use this example, but I guess it's just the most visceral example. It's not the most recent. Visceral. I had, and this wasn't a business boutique example, but it applies to business boutique. When I first started out speaking, I had a speaking event within my first 6 months where I completely bombed. Every speaker's worst nightmare. You want to literally disappear behind the podium and hopefully wake up from this nightmare, but oh my gosh, it's real. You can't escape. So
did
bad.
You know, really quick, did it happen at the beginning, or was it just like you could feel it like during the entire?
Midway through, a guy asked me a question, and I wasn't used to that format because I was presenting. It wasn't a Q&A session, and I couldn't come up with the answer. And I knew the answer the moment I walked out, but it was a financial question, and I blanked and panicked. And after that, I'd lost the audience. I'd lost every ounce of confidence in myself. They were whispering, and I wanted to die. So it was awful. It was so awful. And so I cried the entire 6-hour drive home in my rental car from the speaking event.
No.
And you know what I told myself? Never again. I will never speak again. I will never walk on another stage. I will never put myself out there. I will never humiliate myself like that. I will never, which is actually, ironically, what the research from little boys and little girls shows. Yeah. Little girls never want to make the same mistake twice. And that's because you want to protect yourself from that pain. So if you face a failure or a fall down or a setback or an embarrassment or a rejection, then you think to yourself, I never want to experience that again. But the reality is you will face those in business and in life. Mm-hmm. And so it, as cheesy as it sounds, you know, growing up, I had horses, and there was one time when my cousin put me on a horse, and when our parents weren't looking, we were like 7 years old, 8 years old. And I didn't have anything to hold on to except like he tied a rope like around the harness, not even like a bit and bridle. Like it was just a reins. It was just literally a rope around the harness. So I had no control of the horse. Well, his little 10-year-old knot came loose. The horse goes flying across the pasture through the open gate. I go flying off the back. My head hits a rock. I'm traumatized from this whole thing. But I had loved horses my whole life. I had horses at my dad's house. And my dad said to me, you will ride again. And I said, I'm never getting another horse. He said, you will ride again. And he made me get on that horse and ride and face that fear after that traumatic incident. And I spent the rest of my life loving horses. In fact, my first side business I referenced was a horse boarding business because I lived on a farm because I loved horses so much. So you have to go face that fear even after you fall down. You have to go face that fear even after that failure has scarred you just to the core. Now, thankfully, I didn't let that speaking event keep me down. You know, I have had a decade of an incredible speaking career since then, but I only had that because I was willing to get up, dust myself off, and walk back on the stage again. So sometimes there's not this magical lesson. Sometimes there's not this like, oh man, I'm so glad that happened. I'm not glad that happened. I no. wouldn't want it to happen to anyone, Amanda, never. Sometimes there's not this magical lesson. Sometimes the lesson is that sucked, but I'm going to get up and do it, go for it again. And I love the quote by Winston Churchill where he says, success is not final and failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. And so just for me, that speaking event was pivotal for me to reframe failure as something that does not have to define me. It's again, like fear, it's a normal part of the journey, and I'm going to get back up and keep going. Even if I'm embarrassed and my, ego is shot and you don't want to look people in the eyes, it's like, nope, I'm going to show up and I'm going to hold my head high and I'm going to try again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That story. I had a really close friend from high school who is a skydiver recreationally. And, in one of the jumps that she was going by herself, her parachute didn't deploy. And she actually had to whip out her knife, like falling down, like falling in midair and cut her parachute and then deploy the backup one. And is immediately when she got to the ground,
the instructor and like the other guy that she was jumping with was like, roll it up, you're going back up. Because it is true. If we allow that time and space for the mind to creep in, to talk us out and to want to protect ourselves and to want to avoid making that mistake, we are going to make that decision to not get back on the horse, not get back up in the plane and not get back up on stage. And it's like, you think about what everything you're giving up because of that just one incident. So I just love how you frame that. Talk to us about like, how do you manage your calendar? What are some of, I'm always curious about people and how they manage their schedule. What are some productivity things? How do you determine what you say yes to, what you say no to? Talk us through that thought process.
Well, I've got a couple tricks that I use that are just regular habits that aren't anything like earth shattering, mind blowing. You know, you've never heard of them before, but they help keep me in check. One person that keeps me really in check is my husband. I will say yes to everything because everything is a great idea. And oh my gosh, we should definitely do all the things.
Yes.
My husband is an introvert that does not want to do all the things. So he is quick to say, you know, Christy, this sounds like a good idea today, but will you want to do it in 6 months when the day is actually here? Or will you want to do it when you're tired? And, you know, let's think this through. And he brings such a awesome and annoying level of practicality to my life. but it's so helpful. I mean, I need that in my life. And so he's a really great checkpoint for me that now I don't commit us to things and even commit myself to things like travel away from the family without asking him. And that's just a respect thing. I don't have to ask his permission, but it's very respectful if I'm going to commit our time or my time away from the family when I would normally be home, nights, weekends, travel, to respect him and say, you know, is this okay with you? Does this work with your schedule? That kind of thing. It also makes sure that we are in line with our values, because when you're talking about calendar, what you're really talking about are values. Mm. You know, I value spending time on this thing. You value spending time on this thing. Where are we going to spend our time? How are we going to split it? It's the same with money. You're not actually talking about dollar bills. You're talking about values. I value clothes from TJ Maxx. Do you value nice steak dinners? Like, how are we going to spend our money? So you're talking about values, and you have to be on the same page with your spouse and your family with values. So time and money are a big thing that we have conversations about. I love how Dave Ramsey says, I can tell what you care about by looking at your bank account and your calendar, because that's where you spend your time and that's where you spend your money. So just being on the same page with him has been huge for me. And then I'll tell you, one of the things that I've realized after trying to do it all, meaning say yes to all the things, all the people, all the places, I've realized that not only do I not want to, it's not good for me, it's not good for others, and it's not fun. So instead, I have just gotten really good at saying no, Amanda. Like, I just say no to a lot of stuff. And I've gotten good at it. And it was hard at first, but I think that saying no is a muscle. And the more you use it, the stronger it becomes, and it becomes easier. But then that means that on my calendar, the only things on my calendar are things that are most important things. Not the most urgent things, not the things that someone harassed me about the most, the things I felt guilted into the most, the things that someone else thinks are the most important. The things that are on my calendar are the things that are the most important things to me. And so then I get really excited about my life, because the things I'm going to are all great things, awesome things, the best things. And that's where I spend my time. And I'm not trying to do the best things and good things and mediocre things and things that suck that I just felt guilted into. I cut all that out. I cut out a lot of good things so that I'm only spending my time on the best things. And when you have a priority system where you have a hierarchy, where you finally realize in your life, all things are not created equal, and you realize, hey, these are the most important things to me, so therefore this is where I'm going to spend my time, and those are the things that make it on the calendar and nothing else does, you get a lot more confidence in your life and a lot more permission to spend your life on what you want to, because you realize you're not going to live your life for everybody else anymore. You're going to live it for what's most important to you and your values, because it's your life. You don't just have the right to protect it. You have the responsibility to. No one's going to do that for you. So just the ability to say no and prioritize what is on my calendar, that has helped a ton.
Yeah, I love that, how you're saying it is right versus responsibility. We have to protect our time. Oh my gosh, this has been amazing. So I want to spend the last few minutes going into rapid fire round, and these are meant to be quick and fast, whatever comes to mind. So the first question I have is, what is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Honesty. Like, I have a zero tolerance policy on lying. Like, I don't know if you're into the Enneagram, Amanda, but I'm an 8.
Yeah.
And honesty is everything. Like, if you lie to me, if you mislead me, if you even so much as withhold the truth from me, I cannot trust you. If I have spinach in my teeth and you don't tell me, we're not real friends.
Yeah.
Like, honesty is everything.
You're like, no, I need someone that's like, hey, let me get that out for you. Here, just let me.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. Like,
if you loved me, you would have told me about that spinach.
Yeah. How dare you keep that from me?
That's right.
What is something that you believe that others think is insane?
I just like doing really crazy adventurous stuff. And I think everybody thinks it's insane. So like, I went cage diving with sharks and what? I thought that was really fun.
Oh my gosh. No, no, no,
no, no, no.
That is awesome. But I know I would be like waiting on the side and be like, you go girlfriend, you do you. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It was terrifying, but it was awesome.
That's hilarious. What is, aside from your book that you've authored, what is one of your other favorite business books that you've read?
Oh, I have so many good ones. I'll tell you one that has been pivotal for me as a speaker, but it's really, even if you're not a speaker, if you just want to be a great communicator, like we're all in the business of presenting or, you know, trying to communicate ideas. Mm-hmm. I love the book Talk Like TED by mm-hmm. Carmine Gallo. And he talks about the 10 most popular TED Talks and why they were successful and some of the techniques of storytelling and how they do. So even if you're in a sales presentation one-on-one or you lead a podcast or you're, you know, we're all trying to communicate our ideas. Our ideas are only as impactful as our ability to communicate them. So that was just a really great book. I love that book.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay. And then the last question I have for you is what has been the best $100 or less purchase that you've made either in your business or in your personal life?
Oh girl, let's talk about it. Okay. Amanda, I have very fine hair. I've been on this rant about this lately. I have very fine hair. So my hair gets greasy by like 5 o'clock. So I've spent my entire life washing my hair every day because I know hairdressers tell you to go 3 days. That doesn't work for me. My hair's a disaster. So I found this, Bumble and Bumble Pret-A Powder. It's like a little pink bottle. It's like $20 or $28, something like that. Worth every penny. What I do is after I wash and dry and style my hair, it's this dry shampoo powder. But instead of waiting till my hair is greasy when like the damage is done, it's too late.
Uh-huh.
I put it in right after I style it, like proactively.
Yeah.
It extends my hairstyle. Amanda, I wash my hair twice a week now.
What?
I'm not kidding you. Like I put it in after I style it. The next day I'll touch it up a little bit. I touch it up each day a little bit and I'll go 3 and 4 days without washing my hair. Do you know the time this has saved me? Let's just talk about
time. Oh my gosh.
The time this has saved me from washing, drying, curling, styling my hair every day has been a game changer. $28. I'm like, Bumble and Bumble needs to sponsor me because I can't stop talking about this because it's changed my life. It's gave me like 5 or 6 hours back a week. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's so important. I was at one of my girlfriend's place and she has a Dyson hair dryer and I have very long, thick, curly, wavy, dry hair. Oh my, it got the job done in like 5 to 7 minutes. I was blown away. And I'm like, Mike, my husband, I go, I think the Dyson dryer is going to be a purchase in the next few months. And he's like, whatever. He's like, if it saves you time. And I'm like, right. This is why like people pay for it's a $400 dryer. And you kind of wonder, does it actually work? And then I use my friends. I was like, oh, it works. Like it. And you, as a woman, you'll do anything to be able to save time getting ready because you still want to look presentable. And you're like, I got to get stuff done.
You're like, it's worth it. That is worth an investment.
Oh, yes. All right. Awesome. Chrissy, this has been amazing. Can you please share with my listeners where they can learn more information about you and what you're doing at the Business Boutique Academy and the book and everything of all that goodness?
Absolutely. Everything is at businessboutique.com. You can find the podcast, you can find the courses, you can find blogs, articles, my social media, all that good stuff. Businessboutique.com.
Love it. Thank you so much. If you enjoyed today's podcast episode, you can head on over to shedidherwaypodcast.com where you can access the entire vault of She Did It Her Way podcast episodes and more information all about how to make the ultimate leap from your 9 to 5. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would be so grateful if you headed on over to iTunes and left a review letting me know what you love about the She Did It Her Way podcast. Until next time, keep doing it your way.